Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, if you're a believer, could you give the Lord praise this morning? If you're a believer, could you give the Lord praise? It's good to be in His house. It's good to be in God's house. Yes, it is. Turn to your neighbor and tell them something nice, like, I'm glad to see you here today. Thank you for being in church with me. To all of our guests, we welcome you to the Pentecostal Church. Thank you for being in service with us this morning. We know that this is Labor Day weekend, and you could be anywhere that you choose to be, but you chose to be here, and we sincerely appreciate it. On August the 19th, we had a tragedy that affected all of us. It affected me personally. It affected this church. Not only did it affect this church, but it affected this community and even our region. And for that reason, I'm going to continue to talk about how to get through loss and grief. So I just want us to pray together. Would you pray with me? Father, we just come to you this morning, and we thank you for the great privilege to be in your house. Now, God, I am asking that you would help us bring our hearts and our minds together in one place, and that your word, Lord, would add value to our lives. We know that your word is principles, it's truth, and we know that your word has answers. And Lord, we are asking that you would help us to find those answers through your word today. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. Now, if you have the app on your phone, you can follow me as I go through. You can have these notes. It's the TPC app. You can follow me if you would like. God bless you. You can be seated. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the five things that Job did when he went through the worst day of his life. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now, as your pastor who loves you deeply, who cares for you, who prays for you, I don't want to tell you this, but here it is. The fact is that all of us, sooner or later, we'll go through times of loss. That's called life. No one escapes it. Everyone will go through seasons of loss, seasons of grief. And if you haven't, then what I would encourage you to do is just take this lesson and tuck it away somewhere, because sooner or later you will need it. Here's one of the first things that Job did when he had the worst day of his life. We're going to use an acrostic. We're going to use a word called trust. And each one of those letters we're going to use today to talk about how Job got through the worst day of his life. So here it is. First of all, the letter T. And that goes for, what do we do when we're facing some very dark days? Well, we tell God exactly how we feel. Now, if you're older, if you're as old as I am, then you was probably raised up old school. And old school says that you don't question God, that you don't say anything to God. You just grin and bear it. Well, here's what I want to tell you. Anytime that you and I have experienced a major loss or tragedy, we start by unloading our emotions to God. Okay? We say things like, well, God, I'm afraid. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm fearful. God, I don't understand. God, this doesn't make sense. We even say things like, God, I can't stand what I'm going through. Notice what Job did in his disaster. Look at Job chapter 1. Verse 20, it's going to come up on the screen, says this, that Job tore his robe in grief. Now, this is a Mideastern culture. that to show their deep emotion of grief, they would actually take and they would tear their robe. And then what they would do is they would shave their head. So Job, he tore his garment, then he shaved his head, and then the Bible says he fell down and he worshiped. Now, when Job falls down, he's fallen down in total humility. He's fallen down in despair. He's fallen down in frustration and in grief, perhaps even anger, all kinds of emotions. Is he's falling down, but he's falling down to worship. So here's what I want to just share with you. Anytime that you or I go through major loss or grief, any kind of loss that we have, we're going to experience four different emotions. You ready? Number one is we're going to have anger. You say, well, I'm holy. I'm glad you're holy, but you're human. I just need real people here this morning. Okay? I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how much of God you know. When you have major loss and you have major grief, you're going to get angry. Just that simple. Okay? You're going to get angry and you're going to ask the question, why did this happen to me? Why me? Why now? What have I done? Okay? I got majorly angry at God when my mom passed away at 57 years of age. I mean, I just let him have it. Okay? I was majorly angry and I'm still here. Okay? I'm going to get into that in just a minute. Here's the second emotion. You're going to have grief. You're going to experience grief, and that is, what have I lost? And when there's a major tragedy in your life, you can actually be in shock for a whole month just trying to wrap your head around, why did this happen? How did this even happen? And then the next is what you're going to have is you're going to have fear. You're going to have fear, and that simply means, well, what's going to happen next? If this happened, then what's the fallout of this? What's going to happen to this person? And how is this person going to handle this? And then you're going to have fear. So you're going to have fear. You're going to have shock. You're going to have grief. And then you're going to have anger. And what we need to do is we need to express all of these emotions to God. We need to express all of it. It's okay. We don't need to hold it in. Because here's what happens. If you swallow it, even your doctor will tell you that if you swallow your grief, it's going to come out in all kinds of physical ailments. Eventually, it'll produce backaches, headaches, migraine. It'll produce ulcers. It can produce all kinds of physical problems if you swallow it. This is why the scripture says, cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. See, brothers and sisters, God doesn't have a problem with you being angry with him. You can just come to the altar and you can cast that on him. The problem is when you shut down. I'm reading a riveting book right now about negotiations, and it's riveting. It's a fantastic book. And the negotiator will say that it's a good thing when the two sides are talking. It's a bad thing when there's no communication. Now you're getting a shutdown, okay? Here's what the enemy would love. He would love for you to shut up, because if he can shut you up, he can shut you down. But as long as there's conversation, even if it's not good conversation, there's still conversation. And what you're doing is you're being able to pour out that grief, that anger, that fear, and that hurt. Does that make sense? Okay, so we need to tell God exactly how we feel, because God can handle, say this with me, God can handle all of my emotions. Why can he handle? Because God is the one who gave those to you. You are made in the image of God. Do you understand every emotion you have, God has that? Do you understand that? God grieved. He grieved at the tomb of Lazarus. God also felt anger when he was in the temple and they were selling in the temple. He felt angry. Right? So anger and grief and fear, all of those are emotions because you're made in the image of God. You say, well, I don't know that God felt fear. Well, maybe he didn't, but he probably felt a little bit of fear in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he was like, God, if I don't have to drink this cup, I don't want to drink this cup. Because he had never been crucified before, so it's the fear of the unknown. Are you with me? So look at Job 7 and 11. Here's what it says. this is a paraphrase now, says this, God, this is Job speaking, God, I can't be quiet. What you see and what I'm saying are two different things, but here it is. God, I can't be quiet. Job says, I'm angry. Job says, I have to speak. And in modern day terms, he's telling God, God, I'm ticked off. Yeah. Has anybody ever felt like that? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're going to play church this morning. I see. Okay, I'm going to ask some of you storytellers again. Have you ever been ticked off at God? Thank you. Sure you have if you've lived past two. You've been ticked off at God. Why? Because God did something you didn't think was right. God, I don't think you handled this right. God, I don't think you did this right. And that's exactly what Job starts doing. He starts complaining to God. He even starts blaming God for all of his pain. At one point, he says, God, you didn't do this right. You handled this wrong. You let all this stuff happen to me, and God, I don't like it. And guess what? Right now, I don't like you. You say, oh, Brother Nealon, how dare you? Let me ask you a question. If you've ever been a parent, have your kids always loved you? Have they always spoke great to you? Like, oh, mighty father, you're just the most awesomest. Or, oh, mighty mother, you just never make a mistake. Come on. Your kids have probably looked at you and said, I don't understand that. I don't like that. I don't even know why you're doing this. I mean, if it gets really bad, they say some hurtful things, slam the door and walk out. And guess what? If you're a mature parent, you know what you do? You just stand there and take it, because you know why? You know things they don't know. Their brain can't wrap around it. They can't see the reason. You see the big picture and they don't. And if you're a mature parent, you don't fall to pieces. You don't check yourself in at the hospital. It's like, they're a kid. They'll get it when they get older. How many of you have said, when you get older, you'll understand? Let me see your hand. Well, sure you have. And so did you just have to check yourself into a psychiatric ward because your kids didn't like you at the moment? Not if you're a healthy parent, you didn't. You took it. You didn't slap them, hopefully. They have felt like it, right? But here's the deal, brothers and sisters. We've been taught old school. Don't question God. Don't say anything to God. Really? God gave you those emotions. He's big enough to handle it. Why? Because we're his kids and we don't see the big picture. We don't know everything he knows. Pardon me if I weep, but listen, his ways are not our ways. And there are some things, brothers and sisters, you and I are never going to understand this side of eternity. Why? Because the scripture tells us we see through a glass darkly. Have you ever gone up to a glass to try to look in and it was dark? I mean, you could see a shadow, you could see a figure, but you couldn't make it out who it was. Why? Because it's a dark glass. So you didn't get a clear understanding. And if you try to wrap your brain around some things, why do the wicked prosper? Why do the good suffer? And if you try to wrap your mind around all that, you're going to fry your little brain. Because life doesn't make sense. Life is a struggle and it doesn't always make sense. So it is okay for you to go kicking and screaming to God and telling God, God, I don't like you right now. I'm mad. I'm upset. That is actually a healthy way of handling grief. See, grief is a transition. It's how you get through life. Grief is how you transition through life. And if you don't grieve healthy, it's going to come out in unhealthy ways. So the number one thing that we do is we tell God, because honesty is always the best policy when it comes. Now, the second way to trust God is the letter R, and that is this: refuse to become bitter. Okay? It's okay to tell God you're mad. It's okay to tell God you're ticked off. It's okay to tell God you don't like him right now, but please hear your pastor. Don't let that grief and that frustration and that anger turn into resentment and bitterness. Why, pastor? Because bitterness is saying, God, I don't trust you. That's what bitterness is saying. If you've ever met a bitter person in your life, there is no way you can please them. If you gave them a $100 bill, it wouldn't be green enough. If you've ever met a truly bitter person, there's nothing you can do that makes them happy. So all I would encourage you to do is just say, you know what? I'm going to refuse to be bitter. Because bitterness is really saying, God, I don't know that I can trust you, and I'm bitter and I'm resentful. And let me tell you what bitterness does, okay? Bitterness acts like a very bad disease that starts eating you from the inside out. It'll just start eating you up. And nobody, nothing, no one can ever make you happy with anything they do. Why? Because you're full of bitterness. And here's what the Bible says. It says, be careful lest a root of bitterness. Now, this is very key because a root produces fruit. Right? What kind of fruit does it produce? It produces the fear. It produces fear. It produces rejection. It produces resentment. It produces jealousy. It produces all kinds of bad fruit that will eat you from the inside out. Now, this is going to be a hard pill to swallow, what I'm fixing to tell you, but it's the truth. Bitterness and happiness are both a choice. You say, Pastor, you're not going through what I'm going through. No, sweetheart, I'm probably not, okay? So I don't claim to be going through what some families in this house are going through. But here is what I have learned through my heartbreak. What I've learned is that I can choose to be bitter or I can choose happiness. Now, I'm not saying I get there in a day. I'm not saying I get there in 30 days. But I am saying on the path, that as I'm weeping, I'm walking, okay? Here's how it works. I don't know exactly how far your headlights shine in the darkness. I would imagine, 80 yards? Anybody have a guess? I'm not trying to trap you. 80 yards, 100 yards? Somewhere, okay? But what you can do is 80 to 100 yards, you can actually drive all night just only seeing 80 to 100 yards ahead. Correct? So in other words, let's say you're driving to Dallas. You don't have to see all the way to Dallas to get there tonight. You just need to see 80 yards ahead. See, we're asking God, God, show me the five-year plan. And God's saying, no, I'm not going to show you the five-year plan. Because if I showed you the five-year plan, it may freak you out. I don't give you this day your five-year bread. I give you this day your daily bread. Right? Okay, so you say, Pastor, I am grieving, I'm hurt, I'm ticked off. How am I going to get through this? You're not going to get through it 5 years down the road from now. You're going to get through it tomorrow. And casting all your cares upon Him tomorrow. And just, I'm sorry, this is a bad word, but for lack of a better word, you're just going to spew all of that out. And guess what? We've been taught old school. You come to the altar, you pray, and then you move on with your life. I'm sorry it didn't work that way for me. I had to come to an altar 10 years over one thing in my life. 10 years over one thing in my life until I got to the point to where if you touched it or talked about it, I didn't have to tell my side. I was no longer angry. I was no longer upset. 10 years, hopefully it won't take you that long. But yes, it did take me that long. And I'm really ashamed to admit it because I could have been using my time much better. But I didn't. So what I'm trying to do is take the pain that I've been through and share it, hopefully, for your gain. All right. So here's my question that I want to ask you as your pastor again who loves you very much. What are you going to choose? You got to make a choice. Are you going to choose to get bitter? Or are you going to choose happiness? Job said this, I'm going to trust God because I wouldn't even exist without Him. Here's what he said in Job 1 and 21. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and naked I am going to return. So I came in with nothing. I'm going to exit with nothing. Then he says this, Lord, You gave me everything I have. You can give and you can take away. But I'm going to bless your name. And the scripture goes on paraphrasing. And Job said, in all of this, he did not sin by blaming God. So if we want to truly study the book of Job and we reduce it down to its lowest common denominator, the book of Job basically asks this question, and that is this: will we love God and trust God no matter what happens? Now, friend, this is a test of true mature faith. When you truly have mature faith, you may not like it, not understand it, not have an answer, but you can still say, God, I can know that I can trust you. You have brought me through before, and I know when I go through this fire, I'm not going to be consumed. You're going to bring me out on the other side. I'm going to trust you. Can I get a witness? Now, we're not promised. Brothers and sisters, nowhere in the scripture does it promise us a perfect life. It doesn't say that. This is not heaven. This is earth. And so our faith is going to be tested. Remember, the reason why there's a hurricane out in the Atlantic right now is because our world is broken. And because our world is broken, we have hurricanes, we have destruction, we have accidents, we have death, we have disease, we have people dying, we have bad things happening to good people. Why? Because our world is broken. What is it broken by? It's broken by sin. Well, why don't God get rid of sin? Well, if he did that, he'd have to get rid of all of us. He'd have to get rid of every one of us. So the world is broken because of sin, but God is still here. And Romans 8 and 28 says, for we know. See, what gets you through is what you know. When you're in a storm, you better be anchored to something. And it probably doesn't need to be popular culture, because that changes every month. You need to be anchored to the Word of God and say, I know God loves me, that God cares, that He is near to me, that He's got a plan for my life. I know that my past is forgiven. I have a purpose worth living, and I have a home in heaven. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's what we know. We know that life is not always good, but God's always good. Life deals us blows that we don't understand, but God is always good. And when I'm in the presence of God, when we get into the presence of God, that glass darkly will suddenly be clear, and we will have answers to every question, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And that's what you have to hang on to as an anchor. Life may be bad right now, but I'm not going to stay here forever. I'm going to live in an eternity with God and have total and complete understanding. There's no hurricanes in heaven. There's no accidents in heaven. There's no death, disease, dying, no sickness. None of that's going to be in heaven. Why? Because God didn't want any of it to begin with. None of it was in paradise in the Garden of Eden either, because God's not the author of any of that. Okay? All right. So, here are some facts that we need to know, that no matter what happens to me, number one is this: God will never stop loving me. Say that with me. God will never stop loving me. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that He is engraving you on the palms of His hands. Every time He looks at His hands, He sees Sarah. I just saw Sarah. So He sees Sarah. He sees Sarah, and Sarah's my girl. And God looks at His hands and says, I love Sarah Barrow. I love that girl. That's my girl. I bled and died for her. And then He goes on to say that no man, can you imagine a man coming up to God and saying, I'm going to pluck Sarah out of your hands? God's like, pfft. No, you're not. Because the Word says no man can pluck you out of my hands. What better hands to be in? I may not understand. I may have fear. I may have doubt. I may be frustrated, but I'm in His hands. And I know that He loves me, because His Word tells me in Hebrews 13 that He'll never leave me. He'll never abandon me. I know God's got a plan for my life. Why? Because God never created a person that He didn't love. You're the object of His love. He didn't create you so He could kick you and spit on you and slap you. He created you so He could love you, direct you. You're the object of His love. You got to know that. You got to be anchored to something when you go through the storm. You got to keep telling yourself that. Because the devil will tell you, if God loves you so much, how come you're going through this? Right? So then you got to understand this, that God cares about every detail of my life. He cares about the details of my life. You may think I'm crazy, but you wouldn't be the first. But listen, I believe with all of my heart, I've seen God open up literal parking spots for me. That small, that minute. I've seen God, I prayed God put me at the right place at the right time, and I needed to meet a person. And guess what? That day I met them. You think that's coincidence? I don't. I think it's providence. God brought that person into my life. He cares about the details of my life. That's an anchor point. Does that make sense? And then here's number four. God is in control of things even when we don't understand it. Okay. So here's the T. You tell God how you feel. Here's the R. You refuse to be bitter. And now the U. You unite. Unite with other people. Unite with other people. I had a man send me a picture, and I meant to ask the media to put this picture up for me. I wish I would have done it. I totally forgot to right now. But this person sent me a picture, and it is a bunch, it looks like either, is it peacocks or pheasants? Chickens? And all of these, Paul sent the picture to me. And all of these chickens, peacocks, pheasants, whatever it is, they're around this big snake. All of them have gathered around this snake as to say, we're unified and we're fixing to peck your head off, is what it looked like. I wish I could have threw that up there so you could see it. Picture's worth 1,000 words. So, but here's the deal. See, when we get united together, we come around this family, our friends, our loved ones, and say, devil, guess what? You're not going to get to them because you're going to have to go through me and my prayers. And so that's what a family does. That's what a family does, y'all. We stay united together. And this is so important that when you're going through hard times, here's what you want to do. I can tell you what you want to do because this is what I did. You want to go home. You want to close the blinds. You want to cut off your phone. And you don't want to see anybody. You just want to crawl up in your shell and you start building barriers around your heart. Because you're hurt. And all you want to do is you just want to get up in a fetal position and you're just like, you're like Elijah. God, this is over. Just take me to be with my fathers. I'm done. That's how you feel. But can I tell you, that's not how God feels. God says, no, no, no. Don't do that, please. Because, see, one of the number one things that God hates, it shows up in Genesis. You know what he hates? He hates loneliness. He said it's not good for man to be alone, right? So he hates loneliness. And that's exactly what we want to do when we're in grief and loss and pain. We want to go home. That's it. That's it. Thank you, Baron. You're awesome. You get a raise. Y'all see that? See, that's what we had to do as the body of Christ. See, there are times... Please hear your pastor. There are times that your faith is so low, you don't even know if you have faith. And that's when the body of Christ says, that's okay. We're going to carry you. We're going to protect you. We're lifting you up. You're all right. We got you covered. You're in good hands. You're not going to have to go through this by yourself. See, that's a force to be reckoned with. But if you're by yourself, the enemy can destroy you. That's why you cannot, brothers and sisters, stay at home too long. It's okay if you want to stay a couple of weeks, yeah. But when you get into a couple of months or a couple of years, then that becomes destructive. You need the body of Christ. See, the reason why this hand works is because it's connected. If you took a knife right now or a machete and cut this hand off, it immediately stops working. Why? Because it's not connected. I'm glad that you're watching. If you're watching this morning, I'm glad that you're watching online, and that's great, and I thank you. But you know what? There's things that happen in this service that cannot be replicated just watching online. We need the body of Christ to come alongside us and say, you're not alone. You're going to make it. I know you may not even have an ounce of faith, but I got faith. And God's going to see you through. And guess what? You're not going to come out today and you're not going to come out tomorrow, but you are going to come out because we're going to make sure that God helps us to help you to come out. So just know, we're praying for you. We love you. God's got you. He's concerned about you. See, that's the importance. That's the importance of having a body of Christ. Does that just make sense? Okay. So now, this is one reason why that we need to be in a life group. Say, well, I don't know about life group. One of the reasons why you need to be in a life group, have y'all ever heard this about this TV show called Cheers? Oh, I forgot. I'm in a Pentecostal church. None of you know about that. You didn't have a clue. So, but look, stay with me. In Cheers, everybody knows your name, right? Isn't that the theme? Everybody knows your name. See, you need somewhere that everybody knows your name. That's a life group. So why? Because there's going to come a time, trust me, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but there's going to come a time you're going to have grief in your life. You're going to have loss. And you need somebody to know your name that can lift you up. See, what? Here's my vision of life groups. My vision of life groups is actually first responders. What do you mean by that? Well, when you're in a hospital, your life group is the first one to respond. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have a license. You don't have to be a license to show up at a hospital. You don't have to know how to preach to show up at a hospital. You just show care. Hey, I care about you. I love you, man. I'm praying for you. You're not in this alone. I know you feel alone, but you're not alone. You got 30 people that's lifting you up. And guess what? We got all your meals taken care of next week. And we're going to wash your car. And we're going to make sure your lawn is mowed. That's what life groups is about. So you think, oh, I don't need that. You may not need it right now, but you're going to need it. Live long enough, you're going to need it. I'm trying to help somebody here this morning. See, he made us for one another. We're human beings. We're wired for one another. We're wired to be together. Does that make sense? Okay. So now one of Job's friends, I got to hasten here. One of Job's friends gave very wise advice. This is found in Job 36. Again, I'm going to be reading from a different translation. Here's what he says to Job. This is very important. Don't let your anger... Y'all read this. Don't let your anger and the pain that you've endured make you sneer at God. Your reputation and riches cannot protect you from distress, nor can you find safety in the dark world below. The dark world below, he's speaking about the occult, the underworld. God's power is unlimited. He needs no teachers to guide or correct him. Others have praised God for what he has done, so join with them. This is very good, okay? So Job's friends point out something that's very important. What's he saying? He's saying, first of all, pain is the great equalizer. It comes to everybody, okay? When this storm hits, guess what? It's going to hit those that don't have a lot, and it's going to hit those that have a whole lot. But pain is a great equalizer. So no matter how much possessions or power or prestige or money you have, when you're going through a very bitter divorce, it hurts. If you're very wealthy, it still hurts. And if you don't have much, it still hurts. Pain is a great equalizer, and it comes to everybody. And here's a very wise man telling Job, Job, listen, it doesn't matter your reputation or your riches. Pain hurts. Hurts. And you can't, there's some things you can't buy your way out of. Some things you can, but some things you can't. Doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't buy your way out of a broken heart. Can't do it. So this is what he's saying, okay? And so then the next thing that he is saying is this. He says, so since that is the case, Job, since your reputation and your riches can't get you out of this, the next thing is, he says, don't ever try to use evil to escape pain. What does that mean? It means don't try to avoid it by doing drugs, hitting a bottle, or doing something foolish like having an affair. Because all of those things are not going to bring you up. They're going to push you back down. They're going to make the situation worse. And yet we all do it even though we know it's wrong. Why do we do it? Here's why. Because we're trying to seek something to relieve the pain. And a bottle is only going to do it temporarily, and then you're going to come right back to your problem, but it's going to make you feel worse. See, this is very important, brothers and sisters. When you're going through major grief and major loss, you have to be very careful, because that's exactly when the enemy can put his foot in and say, God don't care about you. And guess what? Going to church ain't gonna make you feel better. I got some Jack Daniels that'll make you feel better. And let's get honest. It may temporarily cause you to forget, but there's your word. Temporary. It's not a permanent solution. And it's only going to take you down further and make you feel worse. So what do? You get around people that's going to encourage you, pray for you, lift you up, elevate you through their prayers, and say, you know what? This is a bad time, but I know God's going to bring us through. And he's going to use me to help you. You got to get focused on God. Because when you get focused, here's what worship means. Worship means I focus on God. And when I focus on God, I start minimizing everything else. Hey, does that make sense? I worship God. God, I don't understand. God, I'm ticked off. But guess what? I'm going to worship you because I know you're the problem solver. I know you're the one that's going to bring me through. I know you're the one that's got the answer. I know you're the comfort. The bottle may make me forget temporarily, but it's not going to comfort me long term. So I go back to the body of Christ. I go to God. Now here's the letter S. S in trust is surrender. I surrender. Say surrender. I surrender my future to God. Anytime you have great loss, what paralyzes us after that is not grief. Grief is actually a good thing if you do it well. Okay, grief will get you through the transitions of life. What will paralyze you is fear, because then the next thing you say is, okay, this happened, now what's coming next? And if you don't handle grief correctly, I can tell you what's going to happen. There's anxieties that's going to happen. Phobias are going to happen. Addictions start happening. Fears start happening. And you start living your life in this little cocoon. Because now you're afraid of what's going to happen next. And that's a big fear. Now this happened, so what's going to happen next? But God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God doesn't want you to live your life in a shell. He wants you to live the abundant life. He doesn't want you to live your life numbing your life through a drug. He wants you to come to him and let him comfort you. So how does this happen, Pastor? Okay, here's how it happens for me, all right? I have a pathway that I walk. And you know, I'm fixing to tell you something. You're probably going to think I'm cuckoo. But it happened. God is my witness. So I love to pray in the mornings. And you would think that I feel very close to God when I'm up here, and I do. But I don't know that I don't even feel closer to God when I'm in that pathway by myself and I'm just lifting up my hands. I'm not ashamed. It doesn't matter who comes on the road. I don't care. I'm lifting up my hands and I'm just like, I'm peering right into the heavens and I'm praying. And one day, y'all, I'll let you think whatever you want. But one day I was praying and all of a sudden I knew the Spirit of the Lord was on me. And as I passed by this tree in the leaves, it all started shaking like this. And I looked around. I lied not. I looked around and there was not a single tree moving. And then the scripture came to me when the Lord told him in the Old Testament, listen, this is going to be the sign that I'm with you. You're going to hear it's going to be like the wind on top of the mulberry bush. And that's your sign that I'm with you. I'm with you. Woo. Think what you want to. You can believe whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, it happened to me. It was an experience I'll never forget. And it was just God letting the wind go through that tree. And he was saying to me, Wayne, I'm with you, son. I got you. We're going to get through this. Oh, hallelujah. And my faith was strengthened. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that God knows how to show up. He knows how to speak your language. He knows what you need, when you need it. Come on, would you just stand with me? Man, how come time has to go by so fast? So you surrender. Say surrender. Surrender. Okay. In Job's case, he got some very bad advice from his wife. Here's what she said. Job, here's my recommendation. Here's what you do. You just curse God and die. Okay, let's break that down. That's probably the first time in Scripture where we have somebody giving intentional advice about suicide. That's really what she was doing. Job, just go out in the back of the field, take yourself out, and be done with it. Because this is horrible. And you know what Job said? He said, you talk like a foolish woman. Shall I only accept the good things that come from God and not accept the bad too? I'm not going to do that. You're foolish. I'm not going to do that. So what are you going to do, Job? I'm going to surrender my life. Lord, I may not know why. I may never know why. But I know I can trust you. And so I'm going to surrender myself to you. See, on the third stage of grief, and I talked about the six stages of grief, and you'd like that, there's a free CD out there. You can get it on the six stages of grief. On the third stage, it's called struggle. That's where you struggle. Why me? Why now? This is stupid. Why did this happen? You're angry. But if you're ever going to get peace, peace only comes through surrender. And then that's when God starts manifesting His fruit in your life. And that's when God starts allowing His character to come into your life. Right? Does that make sense? So surrender. You just surrender. God, I don't know how to come in. God, I don't know how to go out. I don't even know how to get through this, but I trust that you're going to help me. And I trust that my church family is going to help me. So I surrender. Here's one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, and Job said it. He said this, even if God takes my life, I will trust Him. Though He slay me, I will trust Him. That's surrender. That's what it looks like. God, I don't understand, but I trust you. And here's the T, and we'll be done. The T is this. I trust God for every detail in my life. Here's what Philippians 1 and 19 says. Paul says this, because you're praying for me and the Spirit of Christ is helping me, I know this trouble will bring my freedom. Now, what Paul is basically saying is this, I know the path is prayer. Brothers and sisters, for 10 years, I walked a path of prayer. And I kept weeping, and I kept walking. And I kept weeping, and I kept walking. And eventually, it's like the headlights on your car. You just keep going, you're going to get to where you need to be. So let's review. First of all, I tell God, I share my emotions. The R, I refuse to get bitter because bitterness and happiness is a choice. Say amen. Amen. U, I unite with brothers and sisters. When my faith is at an all-time low, I ask my brothers and sisters to come alongside me and lift me up. S, I surrender. Surrender. I quit fighting, quit warring, I quit struggling, and I surrender. And then the T is, I trust. We're going to do a little bit different here this morning, but I just want you to work with me, okay? So here's what I want you to do. I'd like everybody in this room to bow your heads, please. Everybody in the room, would you bow your heads? Now, if you're going through a time of grief, if you're in this room, if you're going through a time of grief, or you're going through conflict, or you've had a big loss, or you're feeling lonely, or you're dealing with chronic pain, whatever stress you may be facing right now, maybe it's a loss of health, maybe it's a financial loss, any type of loss, if you're experiencing any of this, I just want you to keep your head bowed, and I just want you to stand quietly with your head bowed. But I want you to know this, we're your family. We're a family. We're not a perfect family. I'm not a perfect pastor. But we're a family, and we're in this together. and we're supporting you. And if you're having any type of loss or grief, I just want you right now, I want you to just lift your hand. Okay. There's a lot. Okay, so now, just do this for me, please. Keep your hands raised. You're going through any type of loss or grief. Now, everybody, I want you to just open up your eyes and I want you to look who's beside you. Look, if they have their hands raised, I want you to look who's beside you. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just place your hand on their shoulder right now. And I want you to tell them these words. We're going to help you get through this. Tell them. We're going to help you get through this. You're not alone. We're supporting you. Now I want you to bow your heads and I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking you right now, those hands that were raised, I'm asking you to give us two things. I'm asking you to give us wisdom and I'm asking you to give us strength. Give us, Lord, wisdom and how to deal with this. Give us strength as we're facing this loss. For those, God, that are in pain at this very moment, I'm praying, God, that you would bring them relief. For those, God, who are not sleeping well at night, they're tossing, they're turning. I am asking, Lord, for you to give them rest. Not only, God, in their body, but give them rest in their mind and in their spirit. Because your word says you give, Lord, your beloved sleep. In Jesus' name. Thank you for that. Now, I told you this was going to be different. Now, I'm going to pray. But I want you to kind of just pray what I pray. Everybody, if you would, bow your heads. I want you to kind of pray what I'm praying. And if you raised your hand, I want you to tell God exactly how you feel right now about what's going on. Talk to him right now. Tell him, God, I'm sad. Tell him, God, I'm lonely. God, I'm mad. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm doubting right now. I'm doubting. Tell God, I'm angry. God, I even feel myself, I'm starting to get resentful. Tell him, be honest with him right now. With your head still bowed, tell him, this is how we grieve in a healthy way. He can handle it. But now I want you to tell him this, God, I'm going to refuse to get bitter. God, help me to get better, but not bitter. And God, I'm going to trust you for the things that I don't understand that's happening in my life. I'm going to trust you. Tell him, God, what happened to me wasn't good, but you're good. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your goodness even in, Lord, my difficulty. And even in the bad that's happened, I'm going to trust you. Now you need to get serious about the you, and that is you need to make sure you're in a life group or a support group, some type of group that can be there for you and lift you up and help you. And when your faith is at an all-time low, they can pray for you and know that you're not alone so that you don't go home and get in a shell and close the blinds and lock the door and cut out your phone. No, please, as your pastor, don't do that. Now say, God, I'm going to surrender. I may not be there today, but God, you're going to help me and I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to surrender my will, my plans, my desires. And then the last thing I want you to tell him is, God, I trust you. I may not have the answers. I may not know why, but I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me all my days.
pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.